Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. How do we keep it all together?
What are we going to
start the podcast?
Are you going to answer? And I love that you say we, because I don't feel like I keep it all together at all.
Oh, please. Come on now.
Externally, yeah. I do. Yeah.
Are you having your J-Lo moment where you present that you're fine, but you're not inside?
Yeah, I'm like a duck. Like, I'm like a duck on top, like, and then underneath I'm like...
You know, it's a swan. You know, the analogy is not
a
duck. It's
a swan. But I thought a swan would be too, like, graceful.
Seriously though, do you have... Because I've never seen you melt down. There's been one phone call that you've made to me over the last 7 years of our friendship where I thought, fuck me, if Georgia's losing her shit... Like, what hope is there for me? Like, you are my cool, calm and collected cucumber.
No, I am. I am cool, calm and collective. Collected. I am cool, calm and collected, but it takes a lot to be like that, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? It's not like I just wake up and don't care about anything and I just breeze around and like, I'm not that. I am cool and I am good in a crisis, but I have so many things that allow me to be like that, if that makes sense. Like, I have loads of things in place that allow me to be cool, calm and collected.
No, but that's all well and good, right? And I hear you, and I know that about your personality, and it's a really brilliant trait that you have, but you cannot predict what the kids are going to do.
No.
You can't. So like, there has to be moments where they are fighting, bickering, pushing you mentally. At that point, how do you reset? And does it impact you so savagely? Because my cortisol levels get so high, I feel very, very stressed. Like, it actually physically impacts me. Like, it hurts me. It like brings me pain in my chest when that sort of stuff is going on, because I hate arguments.
I'm the same. I hate arguments. I'm not used to like a loud house. I'm an only child. Like, I'm not used to any of that. Yeah. And I think that, yeah, I agree with you. I know exactly. I feel, but I just have to take myself out. Like, I'm not a, I don't know, like, I'm not a shouter, but I internally, my body's feeling the same that you are. Do you know what I mean? I still feel that cortisol rush, and I know that I just have to like step. Do you know what I do actually? Where like, because James is like more of a angry, that kind of person, and then, you know, we'll get to but shout and then come back down. Whereas I'm more distant. I'm not present anymore.
Take yourself away in the house.
Yeah. I'm not present like anymore, because I just zone out, which is probably equally not as helpful. It's not helpful in that situation.
No, I think that's probably the right thing to do, to be honest with you, because you can't. So, I mean, look, welcome to Friday's Q&A, by the way.
Yeah.
forgive us for kind of delving straight into this conversation, but it has been very prevalent in our house at the moment that Luna and Kit are very much in a phase. I've got to be honest with you, actually all three of them are. I'm having quite a tough time with Isla one-on-one, but also her interaction with the two littlies hasn't been that great. Luna and Kit, literally like an old married couple, they're either, you know, all over each other, or 90% of the time they cannot stand one another.
Yeah.
In fact, we're getting a lot of like, I hate her. You know, Kit's trying to fart on her head. She's trying to, you know, punch him in the ribs. They're physically fighting, but also niggling at each other, snatching. So it is... carnage. And by the way, this is happening all before 7 o'clock in the morning, because my kids wake up so early. They're up at 5:30 every day, so it's not a great start to my day always. No. And last week I was pushed so badly, all I wanted to do was take a moment in the bathroom because I thought I could feel myself going. I've asked them to stop lots of times, tried to distract them, did all the things that I've learned over the last 7 years of doing this podcast. But really at that point, I just needed a moment to gather myself because I'm only human, but Kit can't be left alone for a second anymore because he's frightened to be alone. So he was like clinging hold of my leg and going, like looking, and I was thinking, fuck, help me. Like, I don't know what to do here. It was really horrible. And then I feel really terrible, but I'm going to admit this on the podcast because I know everyone listening will hopefully not hate me. And I basically said to them, I was like, I'm leaving. And they were like, where are you going? And I was like, I'm going to the airport. Like, where are you going to go? And I was like, I don't know, but anywhere away from here.
Yeah.
Like, it was an awful thing to say. I felt guilty the entire day, but it had gone on all week and this was Thursday morning and I just thought, I can't cope with this.
Yeah. Do you know what? Like, I totally get that because I sometimes wonder though, if saying something like that to them, right, it's not going to harm them saying it, is it? Really? Especially if you apologise after and you say, oh, you know, I'm not going to do that. But sometimes I do think like a little bit of a shock tactic, like shock. Like, I know you don't mean to say that and you wouldn't go out to say that to them. But I've said things like that. Like, I've said, like, I'm going to have to get you a new mummy now because this mummy can't do it anymore.
Can't mummy like, anymore.
No. And I think sometimes those little shocks, like, they work a bit.
It did stop them.
Yeah.
It did stop them.
I know exactly what you mean about the constant bickering. Like, I swear, in the mornings, I come upstairs to get ready for, like, not even 10 minutes. And I know the second I walk into my bedroom, and I think, oh, for fuck's sake, are you doing to each other? Like, I know the bickering and the arguing. And then I just, I basically say to them, I'm going to have to split you up. Yeah. And they're like, no, don't split us up. I think, but you don't even like each other. Don't talk to each other. I'm like, don't look at her. Don't look at him. Don't go near each other. Don't touch each other. Stay away.
Yeah. And then you put them in the car. Then you've calmed things down. I've said my sorries. You've split the kids up and you're like, okay, great. Getting them in the car is one thing for school, but then they're in the back together. Mm. And then it's like, someone said to me the other day, why don't you build a piece of cardboard that separates them? In the back.
That's brilliant.
Such a great suggestion.
Yeah, it is. Do you know, I've actually started doing, we've got 7 seats in our car. Like, the 2 at the back are actually like in the boot. Do you know what I mean? And you pull the seats up. So you don't always have them up.
Genius.
I put one in there and then one in the next bit now because I just can't. I just can't cope with the, because it's also quite dangerous. Like,
exactly. Of course it is.
Like, when they're arguing and pushing each other and all of that, and you're trying to drive and you think, oh my God, like, just stop. Like, I just, anyway.
That's why we're doing today's Q&A, because we really, obviously we've just come out the other side of half term, you know, the UK was divided in terms of, I had it first and then Georgia had it the week later. So it's been 2 weeks of it for Made by Mamas. And I know a lot of you have been through it as well. And, you know, we put something up on stories the other day and the first one that came back was, no, I absolutely love the holidays. The holidays, I completely agree. I love having the kids off, but it also comes with a level of anxiety. And if you are in full-time work, I'm not saying it's any harder, but it's also the juggle of trying to make that work. And then the guilt of not being with them all the time. So we thought we'd throw it out to you guys today to kind of understand in those stressful moments how you cope with them, what they look like, and have a general and very honest conversation today with absolutely zero judgment. George, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to kick us off. And actually, timely, because half term is, you know, this is so prevalent. How to overcome feeling disappointed when outings, parties, etc. don't go to plan.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know this one. Yeah. You've done the research, you've booked something at vast expense, you've got the kids excited, and then something has happened which has caused a meltdown, or they show no interest in it, they don't want to be there, they moan all the time, and you think, why the fuck have I bothered?
Yeah.
And that can happen. And when it does happen, it's crushing. Yeah. And it really does impact. So it's happened to me a lot. We kept it really simple this half term. And actually, it was the best thing we could have done. We did one day out in London where we took them to the Balloon Museum. But the rest of the time, it was free activities outdoors. Like we went to the park a lot. We got on our bikes a lot. We scooted in the skate park. We played football a lot, just doing drills, kicking it to each other. It was a lot of outdoor activities, even though the weather was a bit pants at periods, but none of it was like arts and crafts activities, but none of it was super expensive. And it helped me. And I was also allowing the kids to have a holiday in terms of some days, you know, they just watched telly and they just roamed around because they needed to have a rest.
Yeah, that's the whole point. And I think that's what we forget sometimes. Like the whole point of the half terms is for them to have a little bit of a break. I don't know, like in the school holidays when it's 6 weeks, you can't just, you know, it's unrealistic to say you can just let them sit around for 6 weeks. They'll get bored. But I do think in the half terms, it is, I think you have to almost lower your expectations of days. And I know that's quite sad to do when you're looking forward to something. But I think you have to... I always think, like when we go out for a big day out, and I know exactly what you mean. So when everything costs so much now, by the way, like any day out is over £100. Any day, I went to the Everyman to the cinema with the kids, and it was over £100 by the time we'd bought tickets and food and parking and all of that. But I do let rules slide more. When we have days out. So for instance, like, I don't know, when we went to the cinema, would I normally let them have pick a mix and popcorn and chocolate buttons? No. But when we go to the Everyman, would I? Yes, because I couldn't, like, I don't want the fallout. And I think we let rules slide a little bit more about, you know, lots of different things. Like, I don't know, if we're out for the day and normally they would have lunch and neither of them want to have lunch, I'll think, all right, okay, no worries, we won't. Like, I kind of let things... I let things
slide.
I'm not so regimented now when we go out for days out, and I go more with the flow. Because I did find that having this expectation in your head, right, we're going to go into London and we're going to go on the London Eye and then we're going to go for lunch at this place and it's going to be really nice and then we're going to go here and then we're going to go there. That's not always the way things plan out.
That's a really good advice, George. Yeah, lowering it. And also, but going back to the point of like, how do you deal? Because it's like, yes, you can do that for the kids, but they still may respond in a way that, you know, is disruptive or, you know, just disappointing for you, basically. I think the first thing to remember is that you are an amazing parent.
Yeah.
And that the fact that you're sending that message into us shows how much you care. And actually, it's okay to get to the end of the day after giving everything and feeling like they're just not that bothered. It's okay to feel rubbish about that for a second, but realize that they are little kids and they don't really have that emotional maturity to be able to, you know, we all know in a logical mind, I think some days I just get to the end of the day and think, right, write that off, put a line through it, and we start again tomorrow and we reset. Because they have a really amazing ability to reset. It's just as grown-ups, we hold on to things a lot longer. Like Doz is constantly saying to me, you know, why are you still talking about that thing that happened last week? Because that's last week and it shouldn't impact you as a mother. You are the most incredible mum. So just always remember that. We do our best.
Yeah, that's so true. We'll be right back after this short break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Shell says, how do you deal with guilt after losing your shit? Oh my God. Well, this was me the other morning.
If we knew the answer to this. Wow.
We'd be millionaires, Rodders.
We would. Gosh, it's hard. And I think I've never known guilt like guilt before becoming a mum. I don't think I ever really felt guilt, if I'm honest. How do you overcome? I do think you need to, it's acceptance. A lot of it is acceptance and accepting that you are a human and that you do have feelings and you're not a robot. And there are certain ways that, you know, we'd like to behave, but there's also certain ways we'd like everything to go and it doesn't always go like that. So I think you need to, I think you need to have a level of acceptance that you're not always gonna be able to hold it all together, and it's normal, totally normal, to, you know, lose it sometimes.
I echo that. What I did the other day was, and it's actually a really brilliant piece of advice that one of my male, he's a dad, and he gave me some really brilliant advice because I was talking about it, and he said, look, it's how you handle, if you've lost your shit and you felt you've gone too far, like, it's fine to lose your shit if the kids, you know, they need a sharpen them up. That's what you're there for as their parent. You're not there to be their best mate. You're there to guide them and to give them advice and to keep and tell them when they're being, you know, little dicks. But like, if you feel you've gone too far, which I felt the other morning, I had, when they came back from school, I sat them down and I said, look, mummy wants to say sorry for the way that I behaved this morning. And it wasn't acceptable. And I felt really bad about it today. And I just want to apologize. And they were like, oh, mummy, don't worry. Can we watch Bluey?
Yeah.
In the same breath. And I was like, right, this is my stuff, not theirs. So I'm glad I said sorry. It ticked something, you know, it ticked a box for me. But also, like Georgia said, it's totally normal. You're not alone. We're all in the same boat. So,
yeah. But I do think as well, it's really good. Like, I think it's setting a really good example that you're not always, you know, every human is going to behave in a way that they don't particularly like. And if you can show, like, that show that you know that that wasn't the right way to behave and apologize, I think that's a really that's really good role modeling. I think it's I think it's positive. Like, I think it's positive for your kids to see different emotions from you, like, because that's huge. Like, that's how we all are, and they're not
that's how we learn.
And you're not always going to come across people in your life that are always cool, calming, like, hello, this is it. It's not always going to be like that. And so I don't know. I just think the more that they see, and the more like that they see how to process feelings and emotions, and that you can apologize and all of that kind of stuff, I think it's a positive for sure.
Agreed.
So please don't feel guilty. Here we go. Look, this leads on to that. How to balance between showing your emotions to your children and not becoming an emotional burden.
Oh yeah. So this is something that I think about a lot, because obviously I am an emotional person. And sometimes, you know, I think I can remember my dad crying once in his whole life. And that growing up was the norm. And I think my kids have seen me cry probably maybe 10 times already. And so is that too much for them? But also, I don't, you know, I'm not here to be a piece of concrete. I'm not here to say, oh no, mummy's fine, and turning away, and not showing them that actually emotions, and, you know, you can't have tears without laughter. You cannot have, you know, pain without joy. Like, these things are part of our emotional makeup, and our children need to see that, because I don't want my kids growing up, this is me personally, you know, stiff upper lip old boy, like, you know, no, we can't discuss that, and you're crying, sort yourself, you know, this old school, really old school view of it. At the same time, I don't want them to think that I spent my entire time weeping. So again, there is that balance. But I think saying to them, you know, mummy feels something today, and mummy feels quite sad, and I, you know, I'm sorry that I showed you my tears, but hopefully you can understand those tears, and allowing them to see that side of you, I think is really beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. I actually listened to Louisa Zisman and Anna Williamson talking about this on their podcast a couple of weeks ago, and Louisa actually was saying that she doesn't show her kids any emotion. She wouldn't cry in front of them. Her and her husband would never argue in front of them. Like, basically, her point of view is that she doesn't want her kids to, basically anything to dampen their childhood. Right, that's her view. And then Anna, from a life coach point of view, was saying that it's actually good for kids to see, you know, different things, and like,
highs and lows, ups and downs.
Yeah, exactly. And I just found it really interesting because it's one of those things I sort of battle with. Like, do you protect your kids from absolutely everything? You know, like if something happens in the family, I don't know. Do you show them that? Because do you, I don't know, like, do you want them to worry, especially if it's a bit, something that's too big for them to understand? Like, do you show them a little bit of it? I don't know. Like, I really don't.
We figure that out along the way, don't we, Georgia?
And I think, yeah, I think it's interesting. When I look back, I think my mum definitely did cry in front of me. And I probably only saw my dad cry once or twice. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think the kids would have ever seen James cry, to be fair. I don't think. No.
I quite like it when Dozer, not like it, but I'm quite proud of Dozer when he cries in front of them.
Yeah.
Like I sometimes look at Dozer and Dozer feels like he's had a second chance, right? In just, you know, in life, because he's had having a second career and he's, you know, he's sober and he's just so much more of a present dad. And also with, when you look at his childhood, he's got a completely different experience with his own children now. So sometimes the emotion is really overwhelming for him, you know, and sometimes the kids look at him and they're like, he's got tears in his eyes. They're tears of joy, not tears of sadness. But at the same time, if they were sad tears, I know my kids would be able to hold that. Let's go to, this is really interesting. So just a couple of thoughts around how to deal with the stressful moments. Carly says, I just have to get out of the house, which is interesting. Katie says, get outside for fresh air. There are loads and loads of comments like that, that actually it's being in the house with the kids. That's when the bubbling over starts happening if things start to go really, really chaotic.
Yeah. And I do think like everything we've learned on this podcast is it's fine to take yourself out of a situation, like whether you've got a 6-month-old baby who will not stop crying, it's okay to just take yourself into the bathroom for 5 minutes and just have a breather. It's absolutely fine to do that. Or you've got, you know, kids that are 4 and 7 and fighting downstairs. It's fine to just, make sure they're not in danger, but just take yourself off. And equally, like, what do we always say? Like, we learned this, I feel like, in lockdown, just get out for a walk. Like, nothing bad ever comes from that. I mean, well, it probably can, but when kids are involved. But yeah, I do think just resetting, getting outside is the best advice that we can give.
Agreed.
What about this here? When your kids behave like total dicks at other kids' houses, cringe, what do you do?
Oh my God, I love this. I absolutely love this question. Thank you for being so honest, because you sort of see these sort of perfectly curated things on Instagram of like, oh, it's the perfect party and look how they're all sitting and playing, you know, pass the parcel. Whereas in reality, Kit would probably be trying to do a wee in the corner or headbutt another child. He's just a big boisterous boy that wants to get into mischief and like cause carnage. That's what he wants to do. So my reality doesn't look like that. Firstly, I think just please try and get rid of any shame that you're carrying around there, because kids are kids and they will just feel all the feels and do all the things, and you know it doesn't reflect on you, by the way. And also, if they're great parents, they will understand that all of their kids and everyone we know, everyone's children behaves like that at certain points.
Exactly. So that's what I was gonna say. I think if you feel like, you know, your kid's behaving like a dick at someone else's house, I think the best thing you can do is like say it. I always find, like, if I've had someone around and the kid's been really badly behaved, do I judge the mum or dad? Definitely not. I'm more likely to be pissed off if they're like drawing on the wall and the parent doesn't say anything. If the parent says something to me, I don't care. Do you know what I mean? It's a weird thing. I think the best thing to do is just say, oh my God, I can't believe they're behaving like this. I'm so sorry. Or like, God, this is annoying. You know, and then it's done. And if someone judges you for it, then they shouldn't be your friend and you shouldn't be at their house.
Agreed. Oh my God, I totally agree with you. Do you know what? One of my closest friends, actually, she's got her, we love spending time with them as a family, and they've got two kids and we adore their children. And they've got a little boy who's really, really, he's a massive character, super, super competitive with Kit. They're similar ages. He's really boisterous. They adore each other, the boys, but they also fight quite badly. And also this little boy has tendencies of like having major meltdowns in certain situations where he's punching, kicking. He, you know, he hits out at his mum. You know, he can hurt her quite badly. Like, it is quite, when that goes off, it's quite, I feel for her. Like, my heart breaks for her because she's having to deal with it. She has a really amazing mechanism of picking him up, taking him outside, disciplining him away so he's not being shamed in front of, you know, his peers. And then it's interesting to see what happens, because then she brings him back in, and then it only takes him about 30 seconds for him to calm down and say sorry.
Yeah.
So I think when kids feel that they're being, you know, bollocked or told off in front of their peers, that's when the shame kicks in for them, and that's when things can really bubble over.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a thought, but also, you know, God, all of our kids are dicks.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone's child has done that at some point. So yeah, you just got to remember, it's not a reflection on you at all.
On you, no. When your kid shouts mummy for the 50,000th time and daddy is right there in the same room, that's from Ali.
God, don't. Seriously, what is that about? Like, I really don't understand. No. I really don't. I remember when Gigi, I mean, she's still like a proper mummy's girl, to be fair. But I remember being like, don't call me mummy. That's not my name. Call me something
else.
That's
brilliant.
Call
me anything else.
That's not my name. I don't know who that is. But I really totally get that. I don't understand. But we've been doing this. I've got 4 and a 7 year old now. So I've had a lot of years of like mummy, mummy, mummy. And actually now James does come in and be like,
yeah,
oh, daddy can help. Like, daddy can help. Yes. And I think it's about having that conversation with your partner so that they don't always just leave. Because I get it. Like, if someone say mummy, 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 then you're the one who would respond naturally. But I think it is actually their job to step in and say, oh, mummy's busy. Or what about, can I help you? Or what can I do? And I do think it has really helped. So, I mean, now bum wiping. Daddy, daddy.
Like, you get the best job.
Fantastic. Hang on a minute. What about this? I can't complain this half term. My husband took the kids skiing and I had a week off work alone. Sorry, what?
What? God. How have you managed that? You absolute bloody hero.
Oh my God, I want to do that.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is what you have to do. You have to get your partner and the kids to have a joint hobby that you're not involved in. That is the key.
Wow,
there we go.
So,
I'm
going
to go and sign Gigi up to football camp right now.
For goodness sakes, get her into football.
Yeah, no, I really am. Like, I really am. I've thought about this properly. She does actually like football, but I have thought about all the Saturday mornings I'm going to have to myself. I really have thought about it.
Well, I love that lady. Well done you.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I'll just finish on this because it's quite interesting. My husband is so laid back that he doesn't get it when I suddenly blow. It makes it worse and better at the same time. Thank God he's laid back, but wow, it can make me feel like the worst parent ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I know. It's like you suddenly start looking at your own behavior and thinking, oh God, when someone doesn't get it in those moments to sort of go, yeah, no, I completely see why you've done that. When they sort of go, why have you let that affect you? And you're like, because my mind is about to explode.
Yeah. But
it's
crazy, isn't it? And Emma, you've said this, like, it's great that you have the balance. And I'm sure there is so much stuff that you handle so much better than him. And it's lovely that you have that balance between the two of you. And I think you got to just focus on that in those times. Like, I know it's frustrating when you don't, it's frustrating when you know, you're not on the same page, but it is a positive. Like, it actually really is. Because if the two of you were both the same, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's, yeah, good advice, George. Thank you so much for sending in all of your questions and your comments and just reflecting after the couple of weeks that we've had with the kids. You are amazing parents, all of you listening. So,
you are.
Just keep doing what you're doing. We're all in it together in solidarity. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give our podcast a little follow.
Yeah, and if you've got any feedback on this episode or any other topics you'd like us to cover, like, no matter what they are, like how big, small, like we've just been talking about not losing our shit with the kids, we're happy to discuss like any topic. Then just drop us a DM on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.